Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Brian Bacco, Steelers beat writer with the PG. Hi, Brian.
Night Moves is by far my favorite Seeger song, fellas.
Trying to make some front page driving news.
Love that. Yes. He gets a bad rap. Not everybody likes him, but I think that is a classic track.
Alex and I were at a random bar not that long ago, and Still the Same came on by Seeger. Unbelievable. The vibes turned something greater than immaculate, actually. It was the best vibes I've had in a situation in ages, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's a little divisive, but I don't know. Some people think all his stuff sounds kind of the same, but that's why I like Night Moves. It's a little bit different. It's not as hokey as Like a Rock and some of the others. Old-time rock and roll.
Oh, come on. Just take those old records off the shelf, Brian.
I mean, hey, I'm not trying to hate on him. I like him, as I said, but yeah, for me, it's Night Moves in a tier of its own, and then the rest of the catalog somewhere else.
Speaking of things that haven't been quite the same as usual, would you classify Steelers free agency as such? Like, do you feel like what you saw from them, the way they behaved, was appreciably different, notably different from what they had done throughout the Kevin Colbert, Mike Tomlin free agency era?
No, not really. You know, in quantity, it's almost exactly the same now as last year. In quality, I mean, that's much more debatable, but I think they're doing what they generally do. They're not making any of the moves that are getting talked about on Get Up in the Morning or are getting evaluated by NFL Network ad nauseum. They're signing mid-level guys, making some moderate moves so that they're not really hurting at any particular spots in the draft. And I'm not saying they're bad moves by any means, but I do think it's been more business as usual for the Steelers rather than some sort of paradigm shift, as some people are suggesting under Omar Khan. I think they've got their philosophies, and I haven't seen much different in the way they went about it this year.
It seemed like it so far that it has Andy Weidel's fingerprints on it, though. I mean, there's several Weidel guys, basically. Like, I can't help but think that that's a significant development early on here. People wondering what kind of power he would have. It seems like he's not power, maybe, or influence, or whose ear he would have in that room. It sounds like he's got everybody's ear.
Yeah, that part of it definitely makes sense. I mean, you know, I think a lot of people, when they hired him, figured, okay, it stands to reason that you're going to follow the Eagles' blueprint to some degree. And, you know, even if he didn't come from that organization, I think with what they did last year with that roster, how they were built, how they were kind of a puzzle piece constructed around Jalen Hurts, I mean, it would make a lot of sense for organizations to look to repeat that formula to some degree. And they've got a guy who was actually in on the ground floor in scouting those players and helping them get to that point. So, yeah, I mean, the two offensive linemen who played for Philly, well, I guess three now if you count LaRaven Clark. I was a little surprised they went that heavy on remaking the line. I didn't think they were necessarily going to throw that many moves at it because they did bring back every starter, but clearly either he or everybody in that front office thought it was time for an upgrade on the interior. Now I think that kind of wipes that out from your draft plans, but if Isaac Seumalo can be a big upgrade as a starter and they feel like Nate Herbig is a big upgrade as a backup, then, yeah, I mean, I think those are very reasonable moves that they made, not unlike Mason Cole and James Daniels this time last year.
Brian Bacco, the PG, joining us right now on the PM team. Are they going to take a look at John Johnson as a free agent safety to try to patch the hole next to Minkah Fitzpatrick? And if not, why not?
Yeah, I think they'll take a look because, you know, they did this, they went about the safety position very similar last year. You know, they made a move quicker on DeMonte KZ this season than they did as opposed to last offseason where they were kind of waiting around week before the draft. That was an obvious hole on the roster that they hadn't filled. And then they go out and they and Terrell Edmonds return to one another. As we know now, that is not going to happen this season. Edmonds maybe finally said it's time for a change of scenery.
I want to get paid $2 million on the other side of the Commonwealth.
I was going to say, or the Steelers just put their chips on KZ for whatever reason, or a combination of both, which is probably most likely. So, yeah, I mean, they made a move kind of late in the game last year at safety. I think Johnson is maybe more of that deep post type that they already have in Minkah Fitzpatrick. And, you know, I don't know that they want to bring another older guy into that secondary. It's probably time to infuse some youth and some talent, but nothing would surprise me at this point, given that they signed Edmonds right before the draft last year, and they signed KZ, I think, late on day three of the draft. So, you know, it seems like they're constantly trying to find the right fit at that particular position.
Your colleague, Ray Vapaldo, put out a seven-round mock or a full mock, because they obviously don't have some picks in the mid-portions of that draft. And I think it was the first time I've seen a name outside sort of the usual. The big Tennessee tackle was his projected first rounder. Do you sense that they aren't necessarily wedded to the idea of trying to get one of the left tackle type guys, that they just are looking for help in the draft at either position?
Well, I think what's interesting about Darnell Wright from Tennessee is, yeah, he's not tossed into that bucket with the big three of Skoronski and Broderick Jones and Paris Johnson, because he did play right last year in Knoxville, but he played left the previous season. And, you know, he even said out in Indy at the combine that he views himself as a left tackle and that it was best for the team last year for him to move over to the other side based on the experience of some of their other players. So I don't think he's as, you know, rigid positionally as somebody like, you know, maybe DeJuan Jones, the big guy from Ohio State, who's got the size and the crazy wingspan and everything, but didn't do any left tackle for the Buckeyes. So I think Wright is somebody who would make sense at 17 if, you know, if some of their better laid plans go awry, or if they do, or if they are sending us signals that, yeah, you know, we don't feel great about the offensive line, but we went out and addressed the interior again in free agency, and we want that cornerstone left tackle. We think we can get him in the draft, even if the top three in most people's eyes are gone. So I don't think that's a bad pick at all by Ray. It seems like Wright has been one of those risers in this process, and he's done it kind of the old fashioned way by going to the Senior Bowl, putting in the work, doing well at the combine, and apparently doing pretty well in these interviews with teams, saying all the right things about his position fit and everything like that.
Oh, Mike Tomlin loves that, going into the Senior Bowl, putting in the work. That just screams something that Mike Tomlin, football guy, would just absolutely love.
He does it
love.
Himself, so yeah.
How serious are they about Schmitz from Minnesota? I know you said they addressed the interior of the line, but they still had him in, had him visiting. Are they legitimately considering him with one of those non-first-round picks, those earlier picks?
I don't think so. Maybe it's just a situation where get him in here and, you know, get to know him a little bit in case he falls to you. I just don't think it makes a ton of sense to use a high pick on somebody who, you know, I don't think Mason Cole was bad last year. I maybe some people are not overly enamored with him and the work that he did, but I thought he was pretty solid, you know, definitely good enough to get you another year out of him in his 3-year contract, keep the continuity for Kenny Pickett, because we all know that is so crucial and so important to everything that was done personnel wise this offseason. So no, I don't see them using a day one or two pick on a center. Maybe they had made that decision to have him in for a visit previously. Maybe they want to look at something medical wise with them. And yeah, I just think that they've got a guy who has practiced at center a little bit in Nate Herbig, but probably more likely is that you just circle back to a J.C. Hassenauer or somebody like that as you get closer to the season and you need to solidify the top back up there.
Brian Bacco right now on the PM team talking Steelers. What is the earliest, in your opinion, that they take a wide receiver in this draft? If at all, I mean, it could be, you could just say, nope, pass.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's a very wide range of outcomes, honestly. Could they throw us a curveball and take a receiver in the first round? I don't think that's going to happen. I certainly wouldn't bet on it. You won't see me probably doing any mock drafts with a receiver in the first round, but I wouldn't be stunned. You know, I wouldn't be shocked if they feel like, hey, Deontay Johnson's only got, you know, maybe one more year that we want to evaluate him before we have a decision to make. George Pickens is really good, but, you know, is he somebody that we're just going to funnel the ball to all the time? You know, they weren't overly interested in doing that his first season. So, and beyond those two, obviously they need some more talent in the pipeline there at receiver. So on the flip side of that, I think they'd be okay with the mix that they have. You know, Anthony Miller was having a nice camp last year before the injury. Even Cody White, I mean, they've used him in games and he does special team stuff. And nobody really knows what you're going to get out of Calvin Austin because we just haven't seen it. So that's why I say it could go anywhere. I mean, I could see waiting until the seventh round and get somebody with some traits that, hey, if you develop him in camp and you think he can play, great. If not, just cut him and move on with the guys you know that you already have. So I just think it could be anywhere. Day one, if there's
most likely day one, two, or three for them to pick a wide receiver.
Three is most likely. I think there's a lot more holes that you need to fill in those first four rounds. And then, as you noted, you know, at the top here, no fifth or sixth rounders at the moment. So you'll probably have to wait and, you know, get a high upside guy in the seventh. I think receiver would be a good position to use one of those picks on.
Brian, Steelers, I love getting these promotional emails about, like, you know, from just betting houses on the early. Oh, I love them because it's an automatic, you know, I don't want to call it a lazy guy topic, but it's an easy talker. You just say, here's the number. Let's roll the ball out
there. Inbox. It's right there for you.
Let's roll that. Well, I do what they don't like, which is I never give credit to the actual place sending it to me. I just take it and it's mine, all mine. 8.5
There's like six of them that send them now. So, I mean, what's the big deal about crediting one specific place?
Yeah, I get one more than any other, and it's usually pretty concise. And they're always very polite, too. They're always like, hey, I thought you might find this interesting. Well, aren't you in luck? Because
they call you by your name, too. Yes. They type that email up just for you, Chris.
Oh, yeah. No. No, I know that they're only emailing that to me. Or that guy is separately emailing everyone in the country a unique email. 8.5, though, sound like, as far as bowls of porridge go, would you like a bigger one as more likely for the Steelers or a smaller one in terms of their win total?
Man, I'm going to go with the same logic that I used last year. I'm not picking these guys to go under 500 until I see it. I mean, last year would have made all the sense in the world for them to sputter to the finish, turn in an 8-9, even a 7-10. Maybe even 6-11 if they had never gotten back on track, and yet they found a way. So I'm not telling you that means they're going to be a great team or be vastly improved or all of a sudden be a Super Bowl contender. But for as many years as I told myself I'm not going to believe in the Pirates to have a winning record, I'm not going to believe that the Steelers will have a losing record until they actually do it. There seems to be some sort of cosmic forces at work that keep them above that line.
You know, on this show, Brian, we traffic heavily in scuttlebutt. We are just a scuttlebutt-oriented show. Are you hearing any scuttlebutt on, like, a lesser-known player? I'm talking about, like, you know, in that, like, third to fifth round range. You know, somebody that's not been mentioned a lot that the Steelers are hotter after than people think. Putting you on the spot here when I say that, fully understanding that I am absolutely putting you on the spot, but is there any of that, you know, I want you to basically look like the smartest guy in the room a month and a half from now or 5 weeks from now when they draft the player that you say right here and nobody saw it coming but you.
Well, here's a guy who is at a position that the Steelers, I think we can all agree they need to fortify it eventually, and your mileage may vary on whether they should do that in the first round, as Ray predicted, or maybe a little bit later. I think if they look to tackle in the middle rounds, a guy that I've heard is you know, is impressive on film, but is flying under the radar. I'm actually going to see him tomorrow because Pitt has their pro day. It's Carter Warren, who was Kenny Pickett's left tackle for the Panthers. I've heard some people are pretty high on him, not necessarily in the Steelers, but that he might be a better pro prospect than, you know, the kind of hive mind of outlets are looking. You know, his season ended after, I think, three or four games last year with a torn meniscus, but he was a big-time recruit coming out of New Jersey. And I think even, you know, among the Pitt fans, everybody's looking at where's Kalijah Kansi going to go? Where's Izzy Abanaconda going to go? I sort of wonder if Carter Warren might make some Pitt fans pleasantly surprised if a team takes a liking to him.
He's Brian Batko, Steelers beat writer for the Post Gazette. Brian, thank you as always. A pleasure.
You're welcome. See you, Chris.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.